The message of today is press on. The wait is over. The word press on, it means to continue. It means to not giving up. It means to press onward. And that word, the wait is over, I thought at first to put weight of W-A-I-T, meaning remain in readiness for a purpose. But then the pressing on, it means there is something blocking you to keep on moving. That's why I had to put the word wait, meaning something holding you down, or the wait to mean the heaviness. So the title of today is, of the meeting of the day, of the sermon of the day is Press On, the Wait is Over. As the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 that we need to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. We need to cast all our weight, all our heaviness, anything that presses us down, we need to cast those things upon him. As I said, I was wounded, and I realized that I was not the only person wounded. Yes, I was a Christian, but I was moving wounded. And wounded and bleeding people are real. Their injuries are real. God's plan for us is to so that we can live a victorious life. It doesn't mean that we will keep on moving without having storms on our way, without having oppositions on our way. But he saw victory in us. The victory is already done through Christ Jesus. So we already have the victory. But it doesn't mean that the enemy will not try to lie to us that we don't have the victory. But we already have the victory. The scripture of today is Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. From King James Version. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. I'm reading from King James Version. This is a new King James Version. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you. And you say, who touched me?" Even Peter was surprised. Why is Jesus asking? There's a lot of people here. But everybody denied. When first Christ asked, who touched me? Everybody says, not me. I can imagine, even the people who were close to Jesus, they say, no, not me. This is the time when everybody wanted to be far from Christ because he's asking, who touched me? I don't think he asked smiling. That's why everybody was saying, no, it's not me. I think he had a look. He looked at them and they saw he's not happy. That's why they denied. If Jesus can smile at you and say, who touched me? Even if you did not touch him, you can say, it is me, Lord. Because he's smiling. This is Jesus. He's smiling. Jesus is smiling. I touched you. Even if you did not touch, you say, Lord, I touch you by faith. But I asked myself why everyone was denying. It was because Jesus looked at them. Probably he was serious. He had a look. I don't know how to describe that look. But he had a look when everybody was like, no, it's not me. And Peter was surprised. Not because people denied of touching Jesus, but Peter was surprised because Jesus was asking, "Who touched me?" So the surprise of Peter is not for the people who wanted to touch him, but was for Jesus who was asking, "Who touched me?" It means two things. All the people who denied we did not touch you, they probably touched him. Because when all the people said we did not touch you, the Bible says, when all denied it, Peter and those with him, maybe the disciples, said, "Master, Master, Master, Master Jesus, there are a lot of people here. And you say, who touched me?" It means them, maybe we can trust them because they were disciples. Hey, verse 46, but Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." Don't be surprised, Peter. "For I perceived power going out from me." I don't know if Peter understood this. Maybe there was a question, why do you think? So Jesus said, "For I perceived power going out of me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, everybody is talking, it's not me. She suddenly saw, probably she was the only person who did not say, "It's not me," or "It's me." She came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. In my language, the word declaring is so deep. And when she came, she never said, "I touched you," which in my language is a little bit shallow. But she said, the Bible says she declared. Declaring is like you're putting the signature. You say, "Yes, I touched you," but later you're putting also a signature. Your name and everything. It's like, "I touched you, I touched you, I touched you." And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he, Jesus, said to her, "Daughter, I'm smiling. Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I can imagine the whole situation. Maybe Jesus was teaching and this woman is touching Jesus. Everything stopped. Maybe Jesus was having a sermon. It stopped. "Who touched me?" I can imagine. "It is you. It is not. It's not me. It's you." Everything stopped. When this woman came, it was now everybody listening. Because the Bible says she declared to him. And she put the reasons why she had to do so. So, many people are healed and delivered, but they don't confess it. That's why Jesus stopped everything only to help this woman confess her healing. This was Jesus. Even for us, for him to ask, "Who touched me?" We know he knew. This is Jesus. He knew. But who touched me? He wanted that lady, of which he knew, to just confess her healing. Because the Bible says, immediately when she touched, she was healed. But if she never had a time to testify, she could have lost the healing. We will go there. But when she touched him, Jesus knew, "I'm being touched now. My power is going now. Somebody is getting healed now." And she immediately got her healing. So, Jesus just wanted the lady to have time to confess her healing. "Jesus has healed me." Because most of the times, when you confess what God has done to you, you shame the devil. You weaken the devil. The devil is so much proud and so much happy to hear stories of genocide, to hear stories of HIV/AIDS. I mean, all these are his projects. The devil and demons, they stay in laboratories, trying to create problems for mankind. They stay in laboratories trying to create, let's create this disease. Let's make this aeroplane fall. They create all these problems. And suddenly, when we Christians join him in advertising his works, he is so happy. Because that is what most of us do. We are Christians, but instead of saying God is good all the time, we keep on saying about what the devil is doing. We keep on having meetings with people and telling them what the devil is doing. It's like giving him free adverts. Free adverts. He's not paying us, but we are just telling people, I mean, making him famous because of what he's doing. So here, this was the place whereby Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to stop my sermon. I wanted this lady to embarrass the devil. I wanted this lady to show the devil and his cousins and the whole of his family that I am God." And she started telling the people for 12 years, "I was sick, but I made up my mind when I heard that Jesus is coming to town to come to touch him. Immediately, I got my healing." So when she confessed that, heaven becomes happy, but hell was not happy. Remember, we are talking about pressing on. The wait is over. So here, many of us, God has healed us. God has saved us. Maybe from addictions. God has healed us from sicknesses. But we are not able to tell even our families that we are Christians now. We are saved, we are born again Christians, but even our friends don't know about it. This is one of the reasons that most of the times we don't go on. We don't proceed. We become so weak. It's like you're trying, you want to go to the Olympics, but you're not training. You cannot make it. You cannot make it. God can heal you, but the moment you hide your healing, the devil will come. Because he likes dark places. He likes things that are hidden. The enemy will come and say, okay, let's have a chat. Let's negotiate. Let's discuss about the healing that you received yesterday. Do you really think it was a healing from God? Because now it is only you keeping a secret of what God has been doing to your life. And you now give him a space for you and him to discuss about that. And obviously, you lose. Maybe it was a healing. Maybe it was something else. Because you never came and declare the goodness of the Lord to the public. So only on this point, I saw the power of confessing the goodness of God to other people. So you cannot be saved and hide it. You cannot be healed and hide it. And six things that I have noticed from this woman. She heard about Jesus. She had faith in Jesus. She moved when she heard Jesus was in town. She touched Jesus' garment. She had a testimony that she gave to the people. And she was not afraid to worship Jesus, even in public. Another point, she overcame the reality of being stoned. Because she was unclean. And she was not supposed to touch anybody. According to the book of Leviticus. In other Bible, like the King James Version, they describe her, they say, the woman with the issue of blood. She doesn't have a name there. Her issue was bigger than her name. So they say the woman with the issue of blood. And if you go back to Leviticus, you know that because she was bleeding for 12 years, she was not supposed to touch everybody, anybody. She was living in isolation. So even for her to appear where Jesus is having a meeting, it was something that she could have been stoned to death. Because she was unclean. She was not supposed to come from her isolation and come even and touch Jesus. But this woman, she overcame the fear of being killed. Sometimes it's where now we ask ourselves questions like, why are we not telling others about Jesus? Most of the times, we are afraid of something. If it is at work, if I tell people about Jesus, maybe they might think I'm not cool. Maybe they might think I'm crazy. Maybe they might think I'm this religious guy. So instead of letting our lamps, instead of letting ourselves shine, we hide our lamps, we hide our lights when we are going out of our houses. So we only Christians in the house, or we only Christian on Sunday. But when you go out on Monday, you are at the office. The people doesn't know that you're a Christian. When you go to school, the people doesn't know that you're a Christian. But everybody you are meeting, God is bringing them with a purpose. I remember I told this to my wife when we moved to location. I told her after I prayed, I said, woman, you know the talking of us Christians. When you read the Bible, there's a time Jesus is saying woman to the mother. And yes, I really don't understand it, but there are those times. And on this woman with the issue of blood, Jesus is saying daughter. You know? So I said, woman, telling my wife, everyone that is going to come through that door in this house, God has sent that person. And God is going to send a lot of people through that door. So don't take them for granted. Treat them as angels. Because sometimes we take people for granted. You meet somebody in town, you meet somebody maybe at work, or some people just came to you with issues. Not even with problems, but with issues. When a problem becomes bigger, it becomes an issue. They come to you and they complain to you, and I mean, God just sent those people to you because he knows that he has put a lot in you. He has invested a lot to you. So when God has invested a lot on you, he's expecting you also to tell others about him. He's proud of you. He loves you. But now it becomes an abuse of what God has done to you when God himself has sent people and you're not even taking your light or your lamp and even showing them Christ. You just say, yeah, it is happening like that. But you're not even telling them about Jesus. Other people, they just need to hear that, you know what? God still loves you. His grace is sufficient. Let's pray. And that can mean a lot to people. That can mean a lot to people. So, sometimes our struggle isn't faith, but the opinion of others, what others think of us. The same thing, being afraid. Sometimes this becomes our struggle, like what will people say? If we do this, what will people say? We don't even put like what will God think, what will God say. But what will people say or what will people think becomes like a big thing on us. But when Christ has set you free, he will lead you and he will empower you to testify. Yesterday we were with Pastor Andres and Christopher in Somerset, and another guy said he became a Christian, and at the age of 17 he could hear in his life that God wants him to be into full-time ministry. The whole question was him thinking that he is not full-time because he has another type of job, which is not pastoral. So the question actually was something to do like quitting the job or going into ministry like full-time, the way we say full-time. And the pastor had to answer this person, I think, with wisdom. That I think you can be full-time wherever you are. You can be an accountant and be full-time. In his own words, he says, you can actually do whatever I do whilst you are doing what you are doing. So when we say full-time, it's not like then I'll be in church like 24 hours. That was the question. But when Christ has set you free, he will lead you and he will empower you to testify. How? The people you meet. Everybody you meet, God is sending those people to you. Everybody you meet. If you have a family, you are three people, you are four people, those people, your children, they are there for a purpose. Your wife, your husband, the kids, the people who are working for you, the people you are working for, they, you meet them. God is sending them for a purpose. So sometimes we blame God for a victory that we did not pursue. But it is time now to press on. It is time to put our faith in action. We are tired of being Christians who only talks but not doing anything. When we went to Malawi with Pastor Andres, we met a lot of people. And I remember this other day, I sat with these young people. I said, guys, I don't care how much you are anointed, even if you raise the dead people. We are not going to work together. But I'll care much more if you have character. Because I realize that they are Christians without character. The moment you know, I mean, how, you only know they are Christians when they open their mouth. But when they are quiet, they are not Christians. The character. But when God has empowered, when God has saved you, he will empower you. Sometimes you just walk in the street and people just come and greet you and say, oh, God bless you. You never even open your mouth. But they just see Christ in you. Sometimes even a greeting, how are you? I'm fine, and you? Ah, God bless you. You smile to them. They see that this greeting is, there is supernatural things happening here. Like that lady who came here, just sitting there listening to the songs and getting healed. What is that? That can only be God. You see, so most of the times we think it's through praying a lot, we think it's through fasting a lot. Yeah, those things are needed, but our character, the way we carry ourselves, in the street, in the shop, in our houses. Are we like Christ? Because somebody was saying to me, it is impossible to be holy. Then I said, but 1 Peter says, be ye holy for I am holy. So it means it is possible. It is possible to be like Christ. I mean, how come Christ wants us to be like him when he knows it is not possible? It is possible. And it is easy if you just follow him. It is difficult if you want him to lead, to follow you. It is very difficult, and Christianity is very hard if you are on the driving seat. Because you reach a time now, you want Christ to sit here, Holy Spirit to sit here, God to sit there and drive them wherever you want. So it becomes very hard. To be a Christian is very tough when you are on the seat, on the driving seat. But it is very easy when Jesus is driving. You just sit at the back and relax. So, even if the enemy brings a flu, or the enemy brings, lack of money in your house, or the enemy brings any other temptation, it's easy for you because, you are at the back and Christ is driving. You just say, God, I trust in you. I know your grace is sufficient. You see? It's very easy. But it's very hard and it's very difficult if it is you now. You want Christ to do this for you. Jesus, I want you by tomorrow to do this for me. Jesus, if it is you talking, let tomorrow not the sun arise. Jesus, if you try to manipulate God, if you try to control him, Christianity is very tough. Very tough. Because most of our prayers are not going to be answered. The reason is we are praying amiss. All prayers are answered. There is no single prayer that you will go to heaven and say, Jesus, you never answered me this prayer. If there is that, you prayed amiss. Because there is a road that prayers are moving. Prayers, they move there. But if you take your own road there, that prayer, God will not see it. Because it is not according to the word of God. If you pray according to his word, then all the prayers are going here. And all prayers are answered. But remember, even wait is an answer. Even no is an answer. So the issue or the story of this woman took 12 years. I don't know how many years has taken your stories or your issues or your problems. But as you read the scripture, you realize that even in the name of this lady is not written. It is also like, as I said in the beginning, in my culture, people are just called Dr. So-so. When we went with Pastor Andres, somebody just came to me and said, Apostle. And Pastor was like, what's happening here? What's happening here? You see, so those things, even in my culture, it happens a lot. If you go there, like to say, I had to train the people. I said, if Pastor Andres comes here, don't say Pastor. Just call Andres. They say, no. It's very hard for us. It's very hard. It's very difficult for us. Why doesn't he want to be called Pastor? I said, it was difficult even for me. But I just said, this man is just too humble. Just Andres is fine for him. But it was even difficult. So people are named most of the times doctors, pastor, cleaner. They call you by what you are doing. And this is what I'm seeing also in this lady. The woman with the issue of blood. But now when I underline the word issue, it means the problems were like double. Because it took 12 years. So sometimes, I don't know how many years have you had issues or problems. But I'm here to declare to you that God is going to heal you. God is going to heal you. What this woman did was to touch the garment of Jesus. What this woman did immediately, she received. The moment you touch Jesus, immediately you receive. The next step is to tell people. That's why the Bible says, let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Because if you say, let the sick say, I'm healed, the sick should say, I am healed. The Bible doesn't say, let the sick be healed first and then say they are healed. No. So there is power in confessing. But you confess the word of God. So sometimes we struggle with the culture of sharing testimonies because we have grown up being told, don't tell them uncle molested you. We grew up being told that. Don't tell them uncle molested you. Don't tell them anything about this house. What happens in this house stays in this house. So we have a learned behavior of not telling others. As the result, we are making the enemy bigger than he is. He's already defeated. He is defeated. He is defeated. The moment you put yourself completely to Christ, no demon can touch you. Jesus is greater than the greatest. He is higher than the highest. So, we just need to turn our lives and start living according to the word of God, believing every promise that God said upon our lives and living it. If God says, you are healed, I believe this. If God says, I have this, I believe this. But don't keep on advertising what the enemy is doing out there, because he's already defeated. If anything, tell others what Jesus did and what Jesus is doing today. The enemy loves darkness. When we tell others about God, we expose his objectives, his strategies, and his tactics. Not by telling others about what he's doing in America, in Iraq, by just telling people, God loves you. The enemy doesn't like it. May God bless you. I'll just call my father to say a word or two.
Well, I think we can all respond to this and relate to this this woman that was suffering from bleeding. And it's like Alwyn said, you know what? Her identity was not even found any longer in her name, but in her issue. And so many times our problems become issues, and our identity is shaped by our problems and our issues. And we become people with bleeding, people with offense, people with depression, people with guilt, people with debt. And our identity is being shaped by our problems in our lives. And we allow those problems to become our identity. And this woman came with an identity, and she was known as the woman suffering from bleeding. She was not even knew by a name, known by a name. And she came to Jesus because she had faith in him. And she knew that even though she's taking her life in her own hands by pushing through that crowd, knowing if she'd been caught from isolation, she would be stoned to death. But yet she had enough faith to push through to touch Jesus. And you know what happened? Her faith healed her. She touched Jesus. But what was so powerful, Jesus turned around and asked this question, who touched me? And I think that's really the essence of the message. You know, so many times we run to Jesus and Jesus delivers us. Jesus saves us. Jesus provides for us. Jesus heals for us. And then people ask this question. Jesus asked this question, who touched me? And we are silent. We are silent. We are like the crowd. We say, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, Lord. And I think the challenge for us is, if God has touched you, if God has healed you, if God has provided for you, if God has delivered you, it is time to confess that. It is time to declare that, so that his name will be glorified. And I really want to give you an opportunity as we are praying, that if you have need like that woman to push through with your issues, with your problems, with your label and your identity, I want to give you an opportunity to respond as we pray, to come forward and say, Lord, this is my problem that has become an issue, that is being an identity. in my life. Lord, this is my problems. This is my issues. This is my identity, Lord. I want to bring it to you, Lord. I'm going to push through the crowd. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. But I put my faith in you because I know you can save me. You can heal me. You can deliver me. And I want, for some of us here, I really believe God is challenging us with our testimonies. You have been healed. You have been provided for. We want to give you an opportunity from next Sunday to share your testimonies. Because Jesus is still asking this question, who touched me? Let us be bold and advertise not what the devil is doing, but let us be bold and advertise what God is doing. Because He receives the glory through that. And you know what? That whole crowd around that woman, they praised God because of her testimony. They praised God because of her testimony. So I want to encourage you, let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us your Son so that we can have life. You've given us your Son so that we can have freedom. You've come to preach the good news to the poor. God, you've come to set the captives free. Lord, you've come to give sight to the blind. Lord, you've come to give healing to the lame, to the blind, to the deaf. Lord, you've come to deliver the captive. Lord, you've come, Lord, to give life to whosoever calls on your name. Lord, thank you, God, that you're the God that multiplies the two fishes and the five loaves. Lord, you multiply the little that we've got, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will give us the boldness to declare what you have done in our lives. That we will not hide our lamps anymore. That we will declare it. And Lord, for us that have still issues and wounds and problems in our lives, Lord, that we will be bold enough to push through the crowd, Lord. That we will take our lives in our own hands and entrust it into yours. Lord, so I want to pray this morning, Lord, for those who are still struggling with problems. Lord, that they will come to you today. That they will stand, that they will rise, Lord, and push through the crowd. And if that is you this morning, I want to ask you to do something bold. I want you to come forward. If you are struggling with problems, if you're struggling with sickness, if you're struggling with, it doesn't matter what the issue is, it doesn't matter what the label is, if you want to be free, if you want to be healed, if you want to be set free, I want to ask you to respond to this word and to be bold and to come forward. And I want to ask you just to come forward as the band continues. Just even now, if you are sick, if you have problems, if you have issues and you need to be set free, I want to ask you to come forward. I want you to push through the crowd. I want you to push through the crowd. Do not be concerned what man might think or what man might say. Do not be concerned what people can do to you. I want you to respond to that word and push through, because that's why God said this morning. It's time for you to push through. And I don't know what is struggling. I don't know what is keeping you back. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know if your life depends on this. Like this woman, she put her life in the hands of God. If she was caught, she would have been stoned, but it didn't stop her because she had faith in Jesus. If that is you, there's some of you that needs to push through this crowd because you believe in Him. So I want to ask you to come forward. I want to ask you to come forward with your issues, with your labels, because Jesus wants to set you free. If you have a pattern in your life, if you have a pattern in your life, I really believe if you have a pattern in your life that continues, God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. If this thing has been defining who you are in your own eyes, in the eyes of others, come forward now. God wants to set you free, because that is why He sent His Son. And then I want to encourage you, if you are here this morning, if you are here and you have a testimony, I want you to be willing to share that testimony. We don't have time this morning to give opportunities for testimony, but from next Sunday, we're going to give opportunities that you can advertise what God has done and not advertise what the devil is doing, but what Christ is doing. Amen. So as we continue to pray for these people, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your patience. Thank you, Alwyn, for that word, for your faithfulness in delivering that. There's some coffee, some great fellowship, and we're going to minister. We'll ask some of the leaders.